Light on the tricks, heavy on the treats this week. We got two great interviews after the closing jingle. First and foremost, gotta give it up for Freddy Krueger himself, the great Robert Englund. Robert Englund, the actor who played Freddy in all the Friday the 13th movies, is one of the best guests. Like, absolutely love this guy. Please stick around for that at the end of the podcast. Also, right after Robert Englund, Dave Schrader. He is the host of this crazy, creepy show on the Travel Channel called The Holzer Files. You're going to love him as well. Good stuff going into Halloween weekend as we kick off today's podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, yeah. Kicking off the podcast, sponsored by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
101.5.
That's the wrong gold.
It's a good one, though. It's a really good one.
I am actually embarrassed that that just happened.
I know. I can tell by your weird laugh.
I know, because I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, that's crazy. Dude, I turned red. You can't see it in here because we have the red lights, but I could feel my face get flushed.
Is that the feeling you have when people start going through your pictures on your phone?
Dude. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anyway, we'll find another gold here in a moment.
That was a good one, man. It's too bad you can't let it all play.
I know. I can't let it all play.
No, you cannot.
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, it was a card collection. Oh. He doesn't know.
Charcoal. We went back to your house and we found charcoal.
Oh, is it that one?
Yeah, that guy. Oh, wow. I accidentally hit that
button.
We
were listening to it by ourselves the other day.
And I had it color-coded.
Some golds, fellas, are only for us.
That's right.
There's only a couple of them, though. Like, and maybe one or two, totally. If you don't know what a gold is, you know, if you're not a longtime podcast listener, it's these little clips that we take, little audio nuggets, if you want to call it that, of memories of things that we don't ever want to forget.
Yeah.
And usually they're really funny inside jokes. And this
one
started
out as me saving things just to make us laugh.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't ever meant to be shared. And then most of them.
Then we just did a whole podcast where we talked about the stuff.
That podcast is great. Yeah. Hey, Evan's joining us. Our bud Evan. He's a radio guy. He does Taste of Country nights.
Yes, sir. Radio guy.
That's him.
What you guys want to hear today?
I feel like you're too close to me.
You sat down second.
This is my spot.
I'm an invited guest. This is how you treat me.
Go to your corner.
Dude, all right. Like, he told me to sit down.
Why don't you wear headphones?
And then you came and sat near me.
Yeah.
I
thought you were a radio guy. Put headphones on.
It's just payback for all the guests that I've had that don't have headphones on.
Isn't that the worst? Because they're talking and they move their heads.
I mean, I know to stay on the mic, you know.
But they don't.
Sometimes people stay off the mic a lot.
Get so much to the point, Bubba wanted to have people wear, like Stern has them, where they have headsets and they have like microphones.
I love that.
I love those.
I think that's the best idea ever.
We bought one just to see how it, and it's thin. It doesn't sound as good as these.
But it doesn't sound bad. It's not for us.
It doesn't sound good.
But the problem was they're fine for voice. But whenever they sing, like we have somebody do a live performance.
You can't use that.
Then it was not as good. You can really tell there.
It's kind of right here. It's kind of this right here. That sound.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference between that and this.
But it's better than having a guest and having them.
Just say, hey, stay on the mic.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's just
they don't get it, man.
It depends who you're interviewing. I mean, some artists, you could tell them that, and they'll be like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let me stay on. And then other artists, you know what I'm saying? They might, you know, flash, you know, like a weapon.
What
are you talking about?
I mean, I've interviewed some.
Evan comes from hip hop. In his past life.
I was in hip hop too. I mean, I worked on that.
Bubba.
You ever heard Bubba's
back in the 90s? That doesn't count.
You want to hear his hip hop?
Yeah, Young MC was such a thug.
No. You have it?
Yeah, we have a gold Bubba
it's
reading
only
from
one,
a spot.
It's only one little tiny little.
Oh,
it's
still hilarious. I want to hear that.
What is it? I don't
know. 5, 4, 3, 2.
I know, but
no.
It's not under 5.
God, I hope so. Is it?
Is it under embarrassed?
Jade?
Never play Jade? Ever.
I don't know. I can't find it. Lucky everybody.
No.
Patrick's
on it.
Oh, well, fine.
Yeah, man. I did hip hop for a long time before doing
my
country.
Favorite is he used to be called, what was your name?
Rachel.
Which
what's
one?
What's her name? Rachel Crouton from the NWA.
I took a
Bubba,
job.
Were you Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah.
No.
Google
it. I was not. Oh, but.
What is it called?
It's under Bubba Jade Commercial.
Like, well, how could you not find that?
Because
he didn't want to find it.
Maybe. All right, here we go. Yeah. Here's a little bit of the.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
That's so great.
Wait, is that you?
Happy every time.
No, that's not you.
5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
Was that you live, or was that like a produced intro?
I did a commercial for the band Jade. It was before your time, I guess. But they had put out an album, 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up or whatever. So I did the spot for the record company, for the label.
It.
And so that was
5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
Your time is up. And
by the way, that is the worst. I'm going to say it again, the worst title. 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up. Why wouldn't you rhyme something with two?
It's through.
So let me ask you a question. The spelling on the actual album of your, was it your or yo? Because did you just take it upon yourself to change it to yo time is up?
Yeah, I think
of course
so.
He did.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, yo time is up.
By the time he got to two, he was in character.
Yeah.
So he just was like, oh, yeah.
No offense, but if I'm in that group, I.
It was yo time is up.
Okay.
I just looked it up.
Okay. Hey, I mean, I got to be more on Bubba's side then. He was reading the script.
That's right.
Jade. Hey, how'd you find that?
I mean, I Googled.
I know. What did you Google, Carson?
Jade 5, 4, 3.
Let me Google
5, 4, 3.
That's the name of the song.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
Let me Google.
I apologize. I just went down the Jade rabbit hole.
Wow. You want to hear the song of what it sounds like?
Well, just a few seconds.
Just a little hit of it. Go ahead and.
Can I send it to you?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, I was going to send it to you. That way you can. I think you should.
This is where Bubba turns up the computer and you hear the Facebook loop.
Oh, yes. Actually, no, not right now because I'm not watching it.
Okay.
Here we go. All right, everybody, turn it up. Oh, I got to put the echo on. Here we go, Jade. 5, 4, 3, 2, yo, time is up.
Yeah,
baby. It's on.
What do you say?
Your time is up.
He still has it. That sounds like the spot that you cut.
Of course.
All the years we've been making fun of that, I've never actually heard that song, and it did not live up to my expectations.
No.
It was worse than I thought it would be.
I think y'all are just hating, man.
On Jade, yes. I'm hating on Jade now.
Hey, by the way, I would like to say, because you, sir, you got your thing is your shoes. You always get the shoe game.
Yeah.
Okay, so Luke Combs sent us some Luke Combs signature Crocs. They're limited edition. You can only get a couple of them. They called us like a week and a half ago or whatever it was and said, hey, you know, what size shoes do you wear? And we're like, what are you doing? And so they sent us these Crocs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pull one off real quick so I'm wearing them right now. And these are the Luke Combs Crocs, the new ones, the next ones. This is now his third pair. So anyway, I'm wearing them. And yesterday this dude comes up to me randomly and goes, hey, are those the LC3s?
Luke Combs 3s.
It took me a second. I was kind of like taken aback, and he was looking at my feet, and I went, LC Luke Combs 3. Yes. I went, yeah, they are. Yeah. He goes, man,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
awesome.
They are.
Combs 3s.
He goes, those are awesome. He goes, what? Oh, that's cool. He goes, I see you got them in four-wheel drive because I had the little thing back.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it didn't come off my heel.
Okay.
Because when I drive, I don't like that coming off. You know, it just feels weird. So I had it in four-wheel drive. And yeah, so these actually, Carson went down a little rabbit hole. These don't even come out. You've got a pair, right?
Yeah.
They don't come out until November 10th.
Right, yeah.
Oh, you knew that, okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize.
Have you checked the resale on those?
Yes.
It's the resale.
There's none on eBay.
Yeah, StockX. If you go on StockX, the old last few pairs are going for like $200 and something bucks.
Mm-hmm. I I wore these before I found out they were worth a whole bunch of money.
And especially them being all white soles, like as soon as you put them on, essentially you diminished the value. Yep. So the guy that knew that those were the LC3s were probably just as shocked to see them on the street. You know, like, why is this guy wearing them?
Like, I didn't realize, first of all, I didn't realize that there were celebrity Crocs out there. So I started looking. I was like, okay, let me see the old Luke Combs ones. And so I looked. And there was a couple different ones. He had the slides and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't realize, like, Justin Bieber and Post Malone and Drew Barrymore, of all people, were all putting out slides.
Yeah, Beavers are pretty cool, too. I like his. The yellow ones?
Yeah.
They're pretty all right. But they, I don't –
Vera Bradley Crocs? I mean, we found all kinds of them. It was cool. I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
but I have ruined my my opportunity.
Yeah, you definitely ruined them by just looking at them funny.
These are my first pair of Crocs I've ever owned in my life.
Same.
I bought a pair years ago. I bought some Walmart like knockoff Crocs, the Croc-offs, if you want to call them that. And I just came up with that. So I bought some Croc-offs at Walmart, and I wore them out to go kayaking with some friends. I hated them. They were terrible.
Yeah.
These are actually really comfortable. Like the real ones, there is a difference. And they're lined. Look at that.
Yeah, they got the fur. Yeah. I think these bad boys are going to go for like $300.
Yeah, he already screwed up because when he opened the packaging, they came in like a Luke Combs Ziploc bag.
Yep.
And instead of opening the zip part, he just like ripped a hole through him. So right there, you'd already diminished. Yeah, you diminished the packaging.
While we're talking about shoes, Big D brought up something the other day that I actually was so funny to me that I told my wife about it when I got home. He called these slides house shoes. I haven't heard someone call them
some
house slippers since like the 80s.
Yeah, man.
That really brought back some like.
That's what your dad wears.
Yeah.
Some house shoes.
So, but.
Isotoner.
Every time I've worn slides, Big D always says something about them. So I think it's kind of offensive. I'm offending him.
I'm not a fan of slides because my son would go out there and play basketball in them.
Yeah.
Well, one day he was trying to pivot and make a move, and his foot comes all the way through the front, and he ended up breaking a toe.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Dude, that's what you get. I told you not to wear those dumb things.
It just shows your laziness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the equivalent of women going out in curlers. It's no different.
I don't do that, so right. Yeah.
You're not lazy.
Evan looks at me like,
have respect.
Like I don't know what you think I'm doing, sir.
And my mom used to do that all the time. She got in rollers. They'd have those pink rollers, you know?
Yeah.
And you roll up a piece. It was fascinating. She would roll them up, and they had like little bristles on them. You ever looked at them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you
little
then
knobbies.
You, and then you stab them with a little plastic stake.
Your pin,
and it goes through and it holds them. And then you just do that all over your head. And so you look like this crazy person with all these round things all in your hair. And she would just go, do errands around town just like that.
Does anybody use curlers anymore? The last person I saw wear curlers was Paula Deen. Paula Deen
showed up here with curlers in her hair.
Yeah, she had curlers in her hair.
She did the interview with curlers.
Really?
Yeah, and then we're like, the interview, we didn't film it because we're like, oh, well, she's wearing curlers. Obviously, we're not even going to attempt it. So we're done, and she's like, don't y'all want a picture?
Wow.
And we're like, yeah, of course we do, but we didn't know, you know, you were cool with the, I don't care, honey. Take it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, we should have done the video.
Those things are expensive, too. Not the individual curlers, but the curling, what's it called?
The iron?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are, my wife has to, it was like $300.
I asked for a Dyson air curler for Halloween. For Christmas.
A Dyson?
Yeah, Dyson makes hair dryers and curling. It's not an iron because it uses air, but it's basically a curling iron, but Dyson does it. If you want the whole set, the hair dryer plus the curling iron, it's $500.
Yeah, like
what?
Yeah, it's when dumb. I asked for that for Christmas, my mom's like, I mean, I'll go in with you on it.
$500?
A friend of mine has one. I promise you, it is worth every penny.
Have you seen those things? They were on Shark Tank, and I've never seen them in the wild, at least not that I would know of. But it was like some lady, she was a doctor, and she invented these curlers that you put in your hair, and then you sleep, and then you wake up in the morning, and you pull them out, and everything's perfectly done.
Isn't that all of them?
No, this
yeah,
is
what they
my
are.
Mom used to do that. I
yeah,
think.
That's
no,
why
this
she
was
wore
like
curlers.
A different thing. It was like I don't know what it was.
The
but...
whole idea of sleeping on them, because I remember being a kid, and I think once my mom tried to put curlers in my hair and have me sleep on them, and it's so uncomfortable. And women did that for decades. Mm. It's awful. Or I knew people who got their hair done, but they couldn't get the appointment the day of the event, so they'd have it the night before, and then they would sleep in a chair.
Yeah.
So that way they didn't mess up their hair.
Yeah.
Did your mom, you ever, like, when you get sick, my mom's go-to was put that Vicks vapor rub on your chest.
Oh, yeah.
And you had sleep like that.
Not only on your chest, I mean.
Put it on your feet.
Yeah.
And you put socks
feet was
on top.
A thing.
I never understood that. Like, how about putting Vicks vapor rub, which is something you're supposed to breathe, on your feet?
When I was a chubby kid growing up, I played baseball. My legs were rubbed together a lot. Like, it was real bad. And I would get a rash, and my mom would tell me to put cornstarch on it.
To stop the chafing?
Yeah. So
we call that chub rub?
Chub rub, yeah.
Chub rub is a thing.
So until I became an adult and started, like, cooking, I didn't know cornstarch was used for anything other than chub rub. Is that... I swear to God. So, like, now, if I make something and add some cornstarch to kind of tighten it up, I think back to my mom. I think back to laying down, because... She would apply it for me.
Oh. What?
I mean, until I was like 13 or so.
Oh,
13?
Yeah, 13.
I thought you meant like 4.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I didn't get chub rub when I was 4. Did you guys think I was like a not?
So, oh, wait a second. You're saying that 13 years old, you would lay on the bed and your mom would stretch your legs?
It stopped at 13.
Okay, so when you were 12 and 364 days.
Yes.
You would...
So
take it to the process.
Like this.
You
okay.
lay down. Laying all right. down.
Well, I was an all-star baseball player at this age.
Of course.
You know, and I was big, so they used me a lot and made my legs.
They call you Chub Rub?
No, they weren't. No. So, so I would get home and I would take a shower, and then because you can't assess the Chub Rub until the shower's done, because sometimes it'll just be better. After the shower, the moisture, whatever, I don't know. And I would come out, and I'd be like, oh, man, you know, and it would hurt. And so I would tell my mom, and she would say, you know, get the cornstarch. It wasn't weird to me. So then I guess I would lay down. This doesn't sound great now that I think about it, but I guess I would lay down, you know, and, you know, spread my legs, and she rubbed the cornstarch on the – yeah. On my inner thighs, wow. And then once it dries.
Why is your mother not in prison?
Is that bad?
No.
It's just gross.
It's just weird.
So, and then the next day, it will be okay, because the cornstarch would, like, make the skin grow back faster. And
did she call you, while she's doing that, she call you Mama's Little Soldier?
No.
No.
Nothing like that, no.
Okay.
Was your nickname Homelander? That's a boy's reference.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, but
season one, totally.
So it's just weird for me
and worse
cooking with it now. It's just funny to me, I guess.
Yeah, you have flashbacks.
I do.
To you and mommy time.
But then once I figured out, but then in summer camp, this is going to sound weird.
Oh, great.
Weirder than that.
Why stop?
That's what you prefaced this story with.
In summer camp, one of my camp counselors was a baseball player for Liberty College. I don't know where that is. I just remember that. And he told me the best way to get rid of chub rub is this stuff called bag balm. Bag balm. Mm-hmm. And it's a cow udder cream.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get it at PetSmart. So... That was my next remedy for the chub rub, was the bag balm. So to this day, I don't get chub rub anymore, but I do have bag balm at the house. It comes in a square tin, and it's good for any sort of chafing. But you can only get it at pet store.
See, we used to do, it was Vaseline for us.
Yeah,
we
would
just get
Vaseline.
Straight up Vaseline. Because like when you go to the beach, Like when I was a kid, I used to surf all the time. Mm. So, you know, after you spend all day in the water and stuff, you come back out and you just got all that sand and stuff in your trunks. So we just slather on some Vaseline so it wouldn't chafe. Oh,
I didn't go through
all the trouble, though. That's pretty crazy.
I used to boogie board with a shirt on because I was larger, and I would get raw.
A little rash.
Yeah, so then I used bag bomb on that, too.
This is a conversation I didn't think I wanted.
Well, I'm a female, and I wear hose sometimes.
Amber has joined us now.
And hi, so to fight the chub rub when I'm wearing a fancy dress.
There you go.
I use Vaseline.
Don't, though. That stuff's so bad. That's like World War I stuff.
Yeah, which is why it's been around that long. It was good enough for Marilyn Monroe, bro.
Yeah.
It works for me. I use that as a moisturizer.
Show me a Vaseline bottle that doesn't have dust on it at the store.
Mine, because I use so much of it.
Well, but I'm telling you, if you switch to bag balm, it's got like vitamin E in it.
Don't you put it on your face too, Carson? Don't you put, mm-hmm. you put Vaseline
I do.
On it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
for what? What are you?
I use it as a moisturizer on my face. I use it on my feet and my hands in the winter.
Is that better than like...
It holds in the moisture.
Really?
Somebody, mm-hmm. there's somebody famous. Who is it? Like Lucy Liu or somebody who mm-hmm. swears by it. Like that's her thing.
Is that what you were putting on your face for a minute?
Yeah.
Dude, Amber would come in the morning.
And you're shiny.
Yeah, she would have to text me. She would text me ahead of time just so I wasn't scared, but... She would come in and it would look like a boxer. Because you know how they grease their
gloves,
faces up?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
It would look like, this guy was extra sweaty.
Listen, it's working for y'all because y'all look like you're just defying age right now.
Aw, thanks,
Evan. I looked at Bag Balm. It's a Vermont original from 1899.
See? I bet that's been out longer than Vaseline.
They have Bag Balm Sport.
Bag Balm is available all over Target, Walmart, hardware stores, drug stores.
So they must have figured it out.
I'm sorry, I'll do it in the other voice. Bag Balm is all available over. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your time is through.
That, how do you do that? You got a thing?
Yeah, just turn up the thing.
Do you got like a T-Pain on that?
No, I wish. I wish that would be great.
Can you turn on us?
Yeah, I can.
Hit it.
Now you got a little echo, a little classic reverb. It's like radio from the 80s now.
Yeah.
Everything sounds like you're in a tunnel.
I was on a station that had this. It was really cool.
Was that one of Dom's?
It was.
I like a little reverb on the signal.
Here, man.
This is a different one.
This is a little cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
1872 is when... Vaseline started to get marketed.
And when did that come out?
1890s. Yep, Vaseline wins.
Yeah, you're right. Doesn't it sound better with the echo?
It does.
Yeah, when I grew up, I was listening to Y107 in Nashville, and it would be they had this.
They had a lot.
And they ran it on everything. They ran it on music, all the mics, commercials.
Yep.
The entire signal had it.
Yeah, we had that up until 2011 on that station.
I always liked that. And you hear some people go, I don't like the echo. It just sounds weird. There's a weird echo on the station. I liked it because it sounded bigger than mm-hmm. everybody else.
And
there's some brightness to it. There's something about it that was magical.
You knew who you're listening to.
Yep.
No matter what was playing, it could be a commercial of a car commercial, and you knew that was why. What is that?
Like, I don't know why. This sounds bigger than watch. I'm going to take it off, and it's going to sound very dry and small.
See?
So we'll put it back on.
You know what? Another secret is that we used to do is pitch up, speed up the music.
Yeah. Yep.
So if there was two pop stations in the market, both playing Drake, ours would stick out more and people would remember it more, but they don't know why. You know, it wasn't like, here's Drake at 3%, but they knew.
You know what's weird is I'll go back and listen to, because I'll get in the car with my wife and she's got the 80s and 90s stations on all the time.
Yeah.
And when you get in there, the songs sound terrible because they were faster back in the day. Because everybody used to pitch their music on the radio. So we didn't have like Spotify and Pandora and all that stuff to listen to music on demand. So when you listen to it on the radio, you always heard the faster version.
Yeah.
So then you get in there and it's like, golly, this song is just dragging.
And then you remember that you don't know why, but you just know that when you get in your car and hear it on this station, you're going to feel comfortable.
So have you guys ever had, with Halloween coming up this weekend, have you all had a paranormal experience ever?
Not me. I don't believe in that stuff.
I totally believe in that stuff.
I think you're 100%. In a room full of people who believe in that stuff. We've all had something.
Have you had
Carson
something happen?
Has, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What happened?
When I was working at my college radio station, and I went to Ole Miss, which was founded before the Civil War, and we actually had a Civil War battle that was right down the road. So they used the building that I was in was used as the morgue. That's where they brought the dead soldiers. And I was in the basement, which I assume is probably where they kept them.
They
and
brought
so,
half-drank beers in there?
Yes. and so they...
Jocktober.
And so, yeah. So one night I was working at the radio station alone, and I just got the creepiest feeling that somebody was watching me. And the lights are all on, everything's bright, it's all the overhead fluorescent lights, and I'm just like, I got to get out of here. So I literally just took off and ran out of the building. And I mean, there was obviously, it wasn't that feeling that, because I think it's different when you feel like you're in danger because there's a dude walking too close behind you.
But like,
somewhere.
How can you convince me that was a ghost? Like,
I don't know that it was a ghost.
I can tell you, dude, it's real. It is absolutely 100% real. Ghosts, spirits, whatever you want to call it, the paranormal, it's legit. I've had too many things. And the weird thing is radio stations are more susceptible. Like here in our studio, we're not, because we don't have the tower right next to us. But like any, you know, those radio stations that have like the big towers on top and all that, they're putting off so much RF, radio frequency energy, that it is supposed to suck the ghosts and the spirits in because they're attracted to it, kind of like mosquitoes with one of those lights that Pawpaw would have.
The other thing I can tell you from a scientific perspective is that I don't know if you're aware that like energy and matter can't be created or destroyed. So the whole thing is it only shifts. It only shifts its form.
Goes into a new thing.
Right. So, you know.
So you have water and you heat it up. Does it go away? No, it turns into steam.
It becomes vapor. And so when you die, it's your body, whatever's inside of you, you still exist. It's just going to be in a different form, whether physically you're breaking down. So whatever that spark is from, again, scientifically, where is that energy going? It's got to go somewhere.
But my favorite hobby is freaking Evan out by talking about stuff like this.
Yeah, y'all talk about like, this all day. I get this stuff all day.
Yeah,
which
I corner Evan all the time. And
talk about witch stuff. Like, witch stuff.
No, I don't talk about witch stuff. Witch stuff is not the paranormal. That's different. That's the occult, and that's totally different.
Where the energy goes 6 feet under the ground. That's where it is.
So you're saying your energy goes back into the earth?
Yeah.
So to stay in a balance, that means the earth is putting the energy off somewhere else.
The earth doesn't care. The earth is just here. Like, it's just... Like, the earth doesn't have time for this stuff.
I'm with Carson on this because she's absolutely right. No. Energy has to go somewhere.
In the ground.
It cannot be created and it can't be what?
Destroyed.
What energy? So the matter is your skin and all your organs and your brain and all that. So that matter goes under the ground and there it's done. It's shifted to under the ground.
But that's not your energy. That's your physical body.
But you can't show me someone's energy. Like, I could show you someone's body.
I can show you
your body gives
pictures?
Off electricity constantly.
What are those pictures, D, with the, when you take, is it the, because they show them the thermo
picture. There's a heat, though, right?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Type
thing? What is it, like, from the Ghostbuster movie? Like something you get at the gift shop?
Dude,
I used my proton pack.
So wait, I would like to explain something to you. And this is one, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but like look behind you. See the way there's a reflection off of Patrick's window there?
Yes.
So when I worked in a radio station at night, it was one that was built in the 20s. It was one of the first radio stations like in the country. It was big. They were doing all this. It was on AM. They were doing all these radio shows there, and they had these grand staircases, and it was a destination. People would go there like they would go to the movies nowadays. So they would do all these radio shows and whatnot. So at night, the stairs were behind us, and there was a big glass wall kind of like that behind me. So you can, if you turn the light off in the room next to me, which was the newsroom, I could use that as a mirror to see stuff behind me. I would see people all the time. And when I say all the time, I used to work at night. You worked at night too.
Yeah.
You know, at night in a radio station, it's kind of creepy anyway. But when there was nobody there, guaranteed, I would see people walking by wearing fedoras. I would see them walking by in groups, and they would go down the hall towards the end. And I would, when I first started working there, I would go outside to see who was there, and there would be nobody there. By the way, that hallway ended up in a bathroom. There was nowhere else for them to go.
But why did this stuff only happen when there wasn't another witness?
No, there were other witnesses there. We were actually one day, Roger Williams, who was a DJ. He worked at night with me. His name was Babyface at the time. Roger and I were in there, and we're like, if this place is haunted, please let us know. Dude, I kid you not. Not even 5 seconds later, a big box falls off on the other side of the room. It falls off. It's probably 20 feet from us. Falls completely over, and Roger and I look at each other, and we're like, pew! It was like Scooby-Doo. We ran like crazy. Roger now is not in radio. He is a Baptist minister. So, I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff. It's like, yeah, this stuff happens. And I would talk to people, and anybody who ever worked at night in that radio station, they saw the same stuff. I mean, we could have the exact same conversations. Like, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen this. I've seen that. It's weird, man.
And I mean, D is our expert on it because he watches so many, just the shows, but the YouTube videos.
That's
but
sad.
No, I don't think it is because it's fascinating. And I think you've become an excellent judge of something that you really don't think can be faked. That you really see things and go, that could be legit.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, what you're talking about is aura. Aura. And there's actually a pop-up. Can we take the thing off?
The reverb?
It's so bad.
I like the reverb. Oh, it feels awful. Like the old days.
It's a tertiary site. It's Nashville's Aura Photography Studio. And
Amber and I were going to go. We were going to go get our photos done. And then, I think it got hit by the tornado.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had it done before, though. It's really, really cool.
You had it done? Like, what color was your aura?
So when you read auras, there's all different things. So, like, it's one side, when energy comes in, I think it's on your left side. Or no, it's on your right side. Whatever comes in on your right side is, like, the energy that's being given to you. And then the color that's above your head is how you process. And then what comes out on the left side is, like, what you take that energy and turn it into. So there's like a whole way to read auras though. And it's like there can be color around your heart and that like it's a
Are
whole...
you one of those people who claims to be able to see auras?
No,
like,
I can't
in the
do,
wild.
I can't do that.
I'll tell you what.
I've
Amber
met those
can
people
do.
And they're like, oh, you're very red today. I'm like, what?
No. I can't read auras like that.
Amber though. She has a talent that she will have a dream and then tell her like she'll have a dream like, oh, something's going to be pregnant. Watch. And then she's like, I just want to get it down on paper. And then we'll forget about it. And like 3 months later, in her dreams, she sees all kinds of stuff.
Do you see like the baby being made?
No.
I mean, no, I'm asking, like, you know, you go, why would you have a dream about those people? And next thing you know, they're going to have a baby.
No, not like
no,
that.
No, that's what I meant.
No, that's weird. No. But sometimes it's like with... like divorces or stuff like that. Like I do it all the time.
Dude, she'll be like, blah, 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 is going to get her divorce. And then she'll write it down because
it in our group text. So that way, like when it comes true and it actually happens, I'll be like, hey, remember on November, whatever, when I sent this message that these people are going to get a divorce. Remember that?
Now, as someone that doesn't believe in a lot of this stuff, she has proven to me time and time again that I think there's something with the dreams. I don't know about the auras and the heats.
Yeah, I don't do auras. I can't do that. Some people can. Like, I think it takes, like, you have to be, it's
tuned to it.
Yeah, and you have to, like, really concentrate. They say that you can do it if you concentrate, like, on, like, the spot in between somebody's eyes, and, like, you just really, really have to concentrate.
Which is the third eye.
Yeah, and you have to, like, if you concentrate on it for, like, long enough and hard enough, you'll be able to, like, see the colors that they put out. But I can't do it. I don't have the patience for it. But also, like, I don't have the patience for palm reading and stuff. But anybody can learn how to read palms.
You actually have a red glow around you right now. No, that's really weird. It's from the LED lights
behind
you.
Yeah, it's our studio lights.
Look at Carson glowing red, too.
Yeah, well, it's my hair. But, yeah.
We should all go and get our pictures taken. We should all check it for.
What, Big D? You're not. You're not.
It wasn't cheap either, as I recall.
Really?
Yeah. It's $50.
Yeah.
Is it a special camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a special way they do it too in the process and all that.
Really?
As we are all
Photoshop
in this room,
is not cheap, Evan.
Yeah, you're right.
As we are all in this room,
I can do it on my
together,
phone right now if you want.
I'm shifting the gears here just for a moment. We're all in here in this room except for Patrick. I was just in the bathroom moments before we started the podcast, and I went in there to number two. And as I'm number twoing, I look over, and there's a toilet paper roll completely exhausted. It's just the brown tube. And I don't know which one of you was in there last, because it was one of you in this room.
Or Patrick.
Or Patrick. But I mean, somebody left it completely off. And I'm like, why would you not? We have four brand new ones sitting right there. Who doesn't change it?
Who?
I didn't even touch it. I didn't go in there for that, and I still changed it.
Who goes number two at their job?
Oh, I do. I do.
I mean, Evan's got a point, though.
I do. Well, I was only number one-ing then. I number two'd earlier today.
Oh, we know when you number two. Because, like, one of us will have to go to the bathroom. We're like, nah, Bubba's in there.
Nah, not today.
But, like, when Big D goes in for a while, he comes out, smells clean. You know, I don't know what. Like, it smells like bleach.
Well, Big D has a shower in there.
Yeah. But yeah,
I'm a unicorn. I don't
very floral.
Yeah, I'm different.
But between you, Bubba, and Patrick, like, it's definitely a thing. Like, we have to
time
right.
Time. Yes.
Yeah. So a long time ago, so I come in at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and that's sometimes when you guys are
yeah. That's when I'm wrapping up. Yeah.
So if I would time when I come in, because right when I come in, I usually have to go number one because I drink a ton of water. So I would know that if I seriously, and this was before COVID, so there was traffic. All right. So I knew that if I left at 8, it takes me like 48 minutes to get here with traffic. If I didn't get here before 9, I couldn't go to the bathroom at least till 9:30. So one time I got here and I come in and it's like 8:48, 8:49. And I had to go. So I was like running. I come right in, run toward the bathroom, and the door's closed. And then I come in here and check who's in here, and I see, you know, Big D and Patrick. And I'm like, oh, no. And I couldn't wait. And this was when I, like, first started, kind of.
Is this before they put the thing on the elevators and all, and we couldn't?
Yeah. I couldn't wait, and you just weren't. You were just in there.
You gotta say something.
I mean, what am I? Even so, I didn't want to go in because you still gotta time it out 20 minutes after.
So, I love this story, by the way.
So I literally was like, I'm gonna have to. I gotta go. So I get in my car and I start driving, and I'm looking for the first business that I can find that has a bathroom. And the first business is like almost a mile away, and it's a Subway.
And then you gotta buy something. Well, no. Subway, they won't let you use their bathroom unless you get a drink.
I don't think Evan was bargaining with anybody.
Yeah, no, I went in and asked for the key, and old boy gave it to me, and I went right in. But I hate going into Subways because you smell like bread for the rest of the day. But so that's my story, is I couldn't go to the bathroom, so I had to drive all the way to Subway just to come back.
I hate going to a Subway bathroom because they make it shame. Dude, it is shame. You go, hey, can I borrow your restroom key? Because first you go back there and you try it, and it's always locked.
Yeah.
And then you go to get the key. Dude, I got the key one time from behind the counter. The guy hands me a flipping Home Depot bucket. I'm not kidding you. With a chain attached to the key. And I'm like, what in the world is this? He goes, yeah, we have a lot of people who steal the key.
Yeah.
So we put this on it so they can't walk out with it. I'm like, well, what's the point of even going to the bathroom now? I got a bucket to go in. I don't have to go in there.
I went on a road trip, and we stopped at this little crappy gas station, and I had to get the key, and he handed me a key attached to a broom. I was like, okay, thank you so much.
Like a whole broom.
Like a long one. Okay. like a broom you would sweep the floor with.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was maybe one of those little ones, you know, nope. like a duster or something.
Also, the amount of gas stations right now that won't let you use their restrooms.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, because of COVID, that I just went to go see my parents, and I was driving up there, stopped at a gas station and to get gas. And then it was like, well, I might as well because I'm getting in the. Nope. Can't use it. So, all right. And then you can go to a rest area, and some of those are still open. So it was okay. Coming back, found another one. Won't let you in. So
have
you
seen
have to check now.
That bag that they make now, the travel bag? It's for male and female, but it's for that purpose.
For number ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have, so is it a gel?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, because like for the airplane, we had those. Whenever you're flying across the country, it's not like when you got to pee, you can't just pull over at the next gas station or take the next exit. So you're in the airplane, and you have these little, it's little crystals, and then you pee into the thing, and it turns it into gel, and it retains it until you can get to where you need to go.
Yeah.
Or you could just wear a diaper, like the astronaut lady who was crazy and went across the country.
This is the scariest conversation I've ever had, so happy Halloween for that. This is just so uncomfortable.
I'm just...
What? What is so?
I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah, but I always
I'm
say,
not, don't I'm do that.
I always say this to my kids. I'm like, look, even Jesus and Gandhi and all these great people throughout history, Napoleon Bonaparte, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all of them pooped. So it's
did
okay.
John Wayne Gacy.
It's a natural thing to talk about. It's a natural
Jeffrey
thing.
Jeffrey Dahmer, he did it.
Yeah,
I mean,
they all did.
I can't say good things for him.
Every one of us, look around. We all poop.
Nope. That's from Connecticut don't.
Yeah, I checked out. I'm sorry.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, I'm already online looking at how to get my aura.
I want to go with you when you get it done. Okay, actually, well, you know what? I'll pay for you to have it done.
What?
I will pay for you to have an aura picture.
Whoa,
done.
You
what do
get
you
an
think
aura picture?
Big D's aura would be?
I have no
sarcasm.
Idea.
Snark and
no
sarcasm.
Clue. I'm not well versed enough in auras either to be able to like accurately say that. I don't want somebody to be listening and be like,
I would like to see, I would like to have somebody, where'd Patrick go? I would like to have somebody do his aura and then like tell us what it means.
Yeah.
Because Patrick's is all over the place, I bet.
Yeah, I bet so.
That's an interesting guy y'all found. How long have you had Patrick?
How long have we had him?
22 years. I made the cheese. Didn't I for his anniversary last year?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was last year's 20-year anniversary.
20 years. That's a good dude, man. Have y'all ever heard the story about how these two started doing a show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought I was the only one.
We tell everyone, shh, don't tell anyone else.
Oh, wow.
Melody just wrote, even Jesus flipped some tables.
Yep.
From this week. I forgot what we were talking about when that conversation happened. Ooh. Anyway, I do want to say...
Shoehorned in.
For those of you who are... hold on.
And 5, 4, 3, 2... Yo.
To make it even more uncomfortable.
Oh, you didn't get to hear that, Amber.
For those of you who are watching on Facebook, you're missing out on half of the podcast because now we're going to play the closing jingle. And then for those of you listening on the audio version, you are going to get the interviews. We have first Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger himself, as he talks about all the crazy stuff he's kind of dealing with through this COVID year and Halloween and his life. And he's such a cool dude. Have you all ever had him on the show?
No, I didn't know he was still alive.
He's awesome.
Like, I don't know. I don't do scary movies.
I don't either. But it's
too much.
I still, you know, recognize the icon that he is.
Oh, that's
I
mean, the original Freddy Krueger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
he's
so
the only Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, really? Yeah, the only one. Mm-hmm. Unless they had a stunt guy, but they don't count.
Is like Jason and Michael, are they all the same guy or not?
No.
Jason, no. The original, there was Kane Hodder. And then I forget, but then Michael Myers, there's actually two different Michael Myers in the original.
Wayne's World?
What?
Myers.
From Halloween. Michael Myers, the mask, the shape.
Mike Myers from George Bush, don't like black people?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that's one of the, how crazy is that that Kanye went from that to running for president? I think that's so cool.
Dude, seeing it on the ballot was kind of nuts.
Awesome. All right. Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger after the jingle. Also, Dave Schrader, who Big D had to have on the show. He does a podcast and he's also the host of the Holzer Files.
Great show.
On the Travel Channel, which is super creepy. Got a lot of great discussions with both of those guys. And that is on the way after this. Evan, Amber, thank you guys. For
it's good to have you guys in. Thanks.
Wasn't Greg Schrader from the Silver Spoons?
That's Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, my God.
It's like having two Bubbas, isn't it? All right, so that's all. Have a good one, y'all. Happy Halloween.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Bye, y'all.
Robert Englund joins us. Of course, you know him as Freddy. Freddy Krueger. What up, Robert? How are you, man?
Hey, you guys. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat to you, sir.
This is your Super Bowl every year, man.
I know. It's my favorite holiday, although I think this year it's more like Nightmare on COVID Street. Social distance trick or treating, huh?
Right? Do you? Hey, do you
and
ever
sanitize the candy corn?
Do you ever go out on for trick or treating as Freddy, and like no one knows it's really you?
You know, I actually, when I'm home, if I'm not out on the road for Halloween, which I usually am, I sort of have to protect the house. A couple of years ago, you know, I got hit pretty bad by the trick-or-treaters. It wasn't just the toilet paper. I got some high trees. But they actually did a melted wax paraffin claw, the Freddy claw, on the brick pathway leading up to my front door. It took me like 6 months to get that crap out of there.
That's terrible, man. Wow.
You know, we have a big cutout of Freddy in the window, and the pressure's on because they know I live here, so I got to get those really large size Reese's peanut butter cups and put them in a bucket and take care of everybody.
That's awesome. I guess like people like you and Stephen King, you know, these iconic Halloween,
the horror icons. Yeah,
the icons. I mean, people know where you live because people, you know, star tours and that kind of stuff.
Google, sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's
never
thought
of that. Well, I'm lucky because I live in my neighborhood. I'm a block away from a street where all the young fathers really miss Halloween. So they decorate. I mean, right now they have a whole tree of zombies, you know, being hung in nooses. And they've got, like, they just decorate crazy. They're giant spider webs with, you know, 6-foot spiders crawling over the driveway. So they go so out for it a block away that they take the edge off of me now. It's not as hectic as it used to be.
That is nice. Yeah.
I've got the crazy dads all going for it on their street.
Did you, when did the first one come out? 83?
84.
Did, when you saw the script, were you like, I mean, would you ever have imagined that this would be what it had become?
No. You know, I to be honest, I did it because it fit in my schedule, because I was starring on my first hit TV show back then called V, and that was taking up most of my time, and I'd never made that much money, and I'd never had that much attention. But I do admit to the fact that I wanted to kind of meet this Wes Craven guy, because I had been hanging out at a New Wave bar, and they had TVs at either end of the bar, and one of them, they had scenes from David Lynch's Eraserhead, and the other one had scenes from The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left. So I was kind of intrigued by this guy Wes Craven and wanted to see what he was like. But mainly, I just did that because it fit in my schedule. I liked the script, I liked Wes, and about halfway through the movie, I knew we were making something special, but I just wanted people to see it. I never had any idea, you know, that over 40 years later, you know, this movie would be an iconic movie and a classic horror film.
Yeah, he was one of the greats, man, and definitely missed. All right, Robert Englund's with us.
Serpent and the Rainbow by Wes Craven. Check that out.
Oh, that was a freaky movie.
So good.
Really crazy good.
I didn't realize that Wes Craven based the... Bubba, do you have the nightmare? Let me see.
The theme?
The theme. Do you have it?
Yeah.
The theme was based off of a very popular song called Dreamweaver. I think Gary... I can't remember his name who did it.
Gary Weaver.
Gary Weaver, yeah. Dreamweaver, Gary Weaver. And
Dreamweaver, yeah.
Yeah. That. Did you even know that he based the Nightmare on Elm Street theme off of that song?
I didn't know that. You know, I did know that there was this series of articles in the L.A. Times, and I read them independent of Wes, but they were about Cambodian refugees that had come to America and settled in the Midwest, were sponsored, and had settled in the Midwest. And when they were in their homeland of Cambodia, they had a tradition of, if they had a nightmare, they would wake up and write it down or turn it into a song lyric or do a painting, and they purge themselves of that nightmare, maybe making it into a song. But when they were in America, they were so kind of uncomfortable and not used to the foreign aspects of the American Midwest that some of them were actually dying in their sleep from their nightmares. And I think that was another part of what inspired Wes.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That is crazy. When you take real, true story, you know, news stories, and then bring them into this is the obviously the theme.
Now, and I'll play the beginning of Dreamweaver too. We're going back to that now.
I mean, yeah, you can see where he gets how this influenced him when you hear the two back to back like this.
Yeah. That's a crazy story about the Cambodians.
Yeah,
I mean, wow.
They came from hot, warm, tropical environment, very, very green and humid, and now they're in Kansas or somewhere, you know, and it's flat and it's not tropical, and they're, you know, living with some sponsored family in a really nice clean ranch house somewhere, but it's so different, and you know, their body clock is interrupted, and maybe they're not sleeping well, and they're not eating the food they're used to, and they were literally dying in their sleep.
So nuts, man. The scene, man, do you guys remember the moment when you saw the scene with the girl on the ceiling?
Yes.
And the blood. It was such a shock. There are very few cinematic moments where it, like, you remember, like, you know, like Forrest Gump. I remember there's one scene when he's at the, you know, sitting on the bench or whatever, and the feather coming down. There are very few that like have an impact. And Robert, that scene was, I mean, that's movie history.
Well, when we did that scene, that's a rotating room. It's on a gimbal and it spins, and it's not, we're not upside down, but the camera crew is. The camera guys are upside down. And the blood's rushing to their head because that's how they film it. Sometimes the camera was a lock-off, but we shot an angle that never made it into the movie of Freddie on the ceiling, and the girl, just before she dies, she looks up as she's being dragged across the ceiling, and she sees Freddie dragging her. And I dropped her legs. You know, she had blood all over her legs, stage blood. And I blew her a kiss with the Freddie claw, you know, like a kiss of death. And the gel, the blood, the fake stage blood that's thicker than real blood, it sort of webbed like a spider web between the blades of my claw. And when I blew her the kiss, it made a kind of a blood bubble.
Oh.
And it kind of floated down. It was so hardcore. The censors would never let them use that in the movie.
Oh,
but,
wow.
I remember shooting that. Because I couldn't drag the actress because she wasn't allowed to use the camera. So the wife of the cameraman actually took her jeans off, and we put the blood on her legs, and she held the camera, and I pulled her around on the ceiling, and she shot that sequence, and it never made it in the movie because it was just too radical.
Wow.
That's so cool, man.
I want to see that now.
Well, man.
So what Tina saw just before she died, Freddie blowing her the kiss of death.
You still have it, man.
That's got to be somewhere, too. Somebody's got to do like a director's cut or something.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, Robert, have a great Halloween, man. Thanks for taking the time, and make sure you...
You too, you guys. I'm stocking up on candy corn and just hoping my Dodgers come through tonight.
There you go. We hope you have a great Halloween and a safe one,
okay.
And thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, you guys.
Dave Schrader is the lead investigator from the Holzer Files on Travel Channel. It is premiering tonight. And Dave, thanks for coming on the show. This is Big D talking. I'm a huge fan. Love the show, and I love.
Thank you.
A lot of most things paranormal. Bubba's. He's a little. You know,
I'm a chicken.
He's a chicken. Dave.
I will
he's
be the
chicken.
First to tell you I can't handle it. Man, I can watch about the first minute of any of your shows.
So for those who don't know, go ahead.
I like that. I like that aspect. And don't be afraid to be honest about that. That's part of the human element. But sometimes learning these things, learning the history, it'll start to take away the fear because you realize what spirits really are. And we try not to take the demonic route on all of these cases. We're just trying to uncover why these spirits are unhappy and why they want to be heard. And sometimes it's just needing to get that voice out again.
They're just lonely.
So tell him, hey, Dave, will you tell Bubba he doesn't know about Hans Holzer. He doesn't know the history and how important he
Dave,
was.
Dave, what you don't know is that as you're going to start telling me this story, I'm going to start tearing up. Look, it's already happening. I know it's coming. I'm going to be like, I don't like this. I'm going to get the goosebumps. I really do not do well with the paranormal.
Well, Dr. Hans Holzer was one of the preeminent paranormal investigators in America. You know, he had a very long career from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up till he passed away in 2009. He was still researching and fascinated by the paranormal. He released his final book about a year, year and a half before he passed away. And I was lucky enough to be one of the last people to interview him for our radio show, Darkness Radio, which is still going 15 years long, you know, where we look into the paranormal. But Dr. Holzer had thousands of cases he investigated, and he would go in with a medium, and he would keep the mediums in the dark about where they were going so that they could really try to tap into the spirit realm there and see if they could get answers. And there, I'll tell you, Bubba, if you're easily freaked out, some of the audio that we get to listen to, when you hear this very genteel woman, Ethel Myers, talking, and then she starts channeling, and all of a sudden you hear, my body, where is my body, coming from this little woman. It is really chilling to hear these kind of things happen.
But so wait a minute, they actually take, so the medium will actually start speaking in the voice of the person who's the spirit?
Well, the mediums that Hans used were deep trance mediums, where they would allow the spirits to speak through them. And it would be, you wouldn't necessarily hear the specific voice, but the different intonations, very masculine voices sometimes coming through, very feminine or childlike voices, just depending. Now, it's real easy on the outside to scoff and laugh it off. And I was very skeptical on mediums myself. And working with Cindy Kaza on the Holzer files, she never ceases to amaze me with what she's able to connect with and things that she's even said. And, you know, when we were filming the first part of the season this year, we were holding hands, doing our little team rah-rah at the beginning. And Cindy stopped and looked me in the eye and she said, Dave, I have a feeling this is going to be a big year for you, a big year. And the next episode we started filming, the first day I got a call or an email rather, and my biological father and all my siblings found me through Ancestry.com. And I was reconnected like a week after she told me this is going to be a big year for you. So when you start seeing things like this, it's hard to just dismiss it summarily as the rantings of a lunatic. And then especially when they can give you specific information that you can corroborate and find in history.
Yeah. Hey, joining us on the phone is Dave Schrader. He's the lead investigator from the Holzer Files, which is on the Travel Channel, and going through and kind of looking at some of the research that's been done from Dr. Hans Holzer, of course, the Amityville, New York home, the thousands of investigations that he did before he passed away. And Dave, when you've been doing this a long time, and it is easy for people to laugh it off, say it's faked, it's this.
There's no such thing as spirits.
That's
the voice they use.
That's a good one. Yeah. It's a Casper voice.
I've heard it.
What do you tell people? And is there a moment that you've had where you're like, this, how do I convince people what I just experienced is real?
I stopped trying to convince people long ago. I just lay it out and let people make a decision and an informed decision for themselves. When you hear cases like, and this was one of my favorite cases from last year, the Morris Jumel Mansion in New York. This house is amazing. I got to stand in the war room that George Washington used. I got to be a part of this history. And you hear Aaron Burr lived there, died there. I mean, there's a lot of history to this location. And you reel it back. The reason Hans Holzer even got an invitation to this house is because there was a group of children and adults that were waiting to be let in for, I believe it was a school field trip. And kids being kids were being rambunctious and loud. And this woman slid out on the top of the house and hushed everyone and told them to be quiet and then went back into the house. And a few minutes later, the docent came and let them in, and the adults apologized for interfering and bothering the employee inside. And she said, there is no employee. And they're like, no, we just saw the woman in period dress, one of your historians. She's like, no, I'm the first one here. And when they walked in, there's the portrait of Eliza Jumel. And that's the woman that an entire crowd of people saw.
Yeah.
It wasn't a one-off. It was an entire crowd. In our first episode of season two, The Phantom Hand in Cleveland, they're being tormented by this spirit in their basement that keeps knocking the trap door up and this hand comes out. Again, could it be that they're hallucinating or fantasizing? They call the police. Two police detectives show up. One of them sees it and shoots four rounds into the floor. This isn't just hallucinations. Many people are having it from many different walks of life. I believe, a skeptic is just a believer who has not had their own experience yet.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was Big D before he had his first experience. He used to always make fun of me. I'm like, dude, once you see something, it changes you.
Yes.
And he had an experience one day, and it kind of changed him.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that with me?
Well, yeah, no, it was, we were visiting with a radio station and we had dinner and we're sitting there talking with the general manager and the OM. We're sort of talking about ghosts and stuff. And Bubba's like, he taps out. He's, I'm done. I'm going to the hotel room.
Like I often do.
And they said, yeah, our transmitter is haunted from Charlie, who's their engineer. And he died there. And he goes, man, I'll be out there at night and I'll hear knocking on the door. And it's out. It's in the desert. And he goes, I'll look outside the window. I can see the door and there's no one there. But the knocking it's still happening. So I'm like, dude, let's go. So it's like 11 o'clock at night, I guess, when we drop Bubba off. And we head out in the middle of the night. And we go into this building, and the transmitters, like the antenna is above us.
It's still an active transmitter, so it's got the humming, the glow.
It's the RF, the radio frequency is there. It's active. And so it used to be their old studio, and so like old studio furniture there, the turntables, the microphone. It looked like a movie set, the props. It was like awesome. And so I'm just kind of walking around this thing, and one of the guys, he's fiddling with a light switch. And it's one of those old ones where that has resistance and it kind of goes, it's like,
clunks.
It's like a clunky, what's the old one? You know what I mean? Like the old ones. And right. And the lights staying on. And I said, he goes, and I told him, I said, man, you really need to get it looked at. It's a fire hazard. I mean, that's your wiring in this is probably bad. He goes, yeah. And I said, as a joke, I said, dude, why don't you just ask Charlie to turn it off for you? And they kind of laughed. And I said, Charlie, will you please turn this light off? Now, 3 seconds pass, one, two, and the light goes poop. The switch drops. The light goes off.
No one was near it.
Nobody was near it. This guy had already moved away from it. I wasn't near it. The other guy was not near it either.
But it physically, like a...
flipped down.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience with things that don't make any sense. And, I mean, I don't know how you explain that.
You can't. That's the whole point is I just like to lay the story out and let people experience it. I've been doing a paranormal radio show for 15 years, and if I was just going to dismiss every ludicrous-sounding story, we wouldn't have been on the air for a year. But sometimes you find that these stories may not resonate with you, but all of a sudden I'll start hearing from people around the world that heard that episode, and they say, God, thank you for having that person on. I thought I was insane.
Yeah,
I've had that experience. And you realize how important it is. So that human element, and even for people that you might think are nuts, it's still intriguing to me to speak to them to see where it's coming from,
mm-hmm.
why they believe this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And, this season, we capture some really great evidence by thinking outside the box.
It's a great show, and I highly recommend it. Thanks. It's called The Holzer Files. It's on the Travel Channel. And also, check out Darkness Radio as well, the podcast, and it's really good, too. I've listened to several episodes as well. And,
thank you.
Thanks for the time, Dave. Appreciate it, and we hope you have a great one. We'll be tuning in.
Thank you very much. Stay spooky out there.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.